Amen. Why don't we clap our hands unto the Lord this evening if you're glad to be here tonight. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. It is an honor and a privilege to stand behind this pulpit. But being a part of ministry and speaking isn't just the pulpits. You can speak to your coworkers just as effectively as you could behind a pulpit or on a platform. Amen. Would first like to give thanks to our pastor for trusting me to come up here on a Wednesday night or any time that he's away. It's extremely nerve-wracking. I told Brother Colin before I came up that I was nervous. But I feel like that if you're not nervous, then there might be something a little wrong. You might be more focused on what you want to say rather than what God wants to say. And all I want when I come behind this pulpit is just the Lord to move in any way that he feels like he needs to move. So all I ask from the congregation is that we give our ear to the Lord and what he has to say tonight. My title for tonight, and I'm sorry to the people in the sound booth and running media, I didn't get them any of the scriptures, but my title for tonight is to just hold on. Now, if you have your Bibles, my first scripture is going to be in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 23. And we'll get to that here in just a few moments. But is there anybody, and you don't have to raise your hand, but is there anybody here tonight that just has ever felt like giving up? Just felt like throwing in the towel? Feel like you don't got anything left in the tank to go? I know I have. Especially when it's hot out, I don't deal with the heat very well. Not at all. And when I get very warm, my patience runs very thin. And those are the times where I feel like I just want to throw in the towel the most. But if you feel like you're tired today, like you're worn out, like you've grown weary and you just want to give up and quit and pull the blanket over your head tomorrow morning and just not do anything, know that you're not alone. But know that our God is with you as well. You see, when we lean upon the Lord, what do we gain? We gain strength and we gain wisdom and we gain the ability to continue our steps forward. Even if you feel tired or like giving up, the Lord hasn't brought you this far in your life just to see you roll over and metaphorically die. He hasn't brought you this far just to give up and just throw everything out the window. Imagine if he did. Imagine where the three Hebrew brothers would be if they just threw in the towel. They wouldn't have the testimony that they had to walk out of that furnace. Just like many of us here today wouldn't have the testimony that we do if we just gave everything up. You see, if we looked at Moses leading God's people through the wilderness, we can all pretty much say that there were people that gave up and did quit. There were those that continued to stand by Moses' side without a shadow of a doubt. But there were also the people in the middle that felt like giving up every single day, but continued to go on anyhow. You see, they had faith and trust that God was still giving Moses direction and wisdom to continue to go down the path that they were on. And we need to have the same faith today. You see, I'm not here to tell you what exactly you need to do to continue your path on what God is leading you down, but I am here today to encourage you to keep pressing forward. You see, he has you here for a purpose. He has you here to learn something. He has you here maybe to see just how far you're willing to go before you cry out his name. You see, Jesus sometimes lets the leash get a little bit longer just to see how far we'll go before we turn around and ask him, why are you back there? The leash might get a little bit longer before we turn around and say, God, I need you. You see, it's all up to us to be aware of our situation and how far we are from God. But no matter how far you've walked away, or no matter how far you may have strayed down the wrong path, as long as you hold on to God and the Word of God, you're never too far off. You see, sometimes life is just life. We need to understand that not everything is the devil, not everything is the adversary, and not everything is thrown at us by God, but sometimes life just happens. And we need to understand that even when life just happens, we can still go into our prayer room and call upon the name of the Lord. You see, there will be times where you feel like you can't go another step because you're overly stressed out. You feel like you can't go any further because your life's just got you by the wrist and it's just dragging you on and on and on. But I'll tell you what, sometimes God has you by the hand saying, come on, let's go. It's time to move on from this part of life. It's time to let go and let me work. But all you have to do is just hold on. Hold on to his hand. Hold on to the word of God. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. My question for you tonight is, what has God promised you that you're still holding on for? There are times in our lives where we pray month after month and God gives us a promise. And then 6 months go by and the promise hasn't been answered, but that's the only thing you're holding on to. You see, there were times in my own life where I've prayed and God has promised me something. And then a year or 2 years will go by and I ask God, where are you? Why hasn't this happened? And all he says is, it's what's holding you on right now. And I have to accept that. I have to accept that God's timing is above mine. But even in my lowest points in my life, I held on because of one promise. Because the one who made the promise has been faithful and will always remain faithful in my life, even when I am not. Even when we don't feel like we have a reason to hold on. Has anybody ever felt like they don't have a reason to go on anymore? Or is it just me? It happens to the best of us. You had a bad day at work and you get home and I'm quitting my job, honey. Can't deal with those people anymore. I can't deal with it anymore. But then you wake up the next morning and you go in the prayer room and God's like, I need you there for a reason. You see, God has us holding on to some things for quite some time before he reveals it to us. But all we got to do is just hold on and wait on the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. If I had it my way in my life, and I'm just being completely transparent, you can ask my wife, I would not live in Ohio. I would live out somewhere in Montana or Wyoming or somewhere out there. But my life, in that instance, my path would not be a straight and narrow path. My path would probably look somewhere like a plate of spaghetti noodles just thrown on a plate. Just thrown on there, a mess. My life would look like a mess. But it tells me here in the scripture that if I acknowledge him, he will make my path straight. And I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, when I lay my head down on my pillow, I want nothing but God's will in my life and for my path to be made straight because of his will. And I hope that goes for the same for everybody. You see, oftentimes we want to do things our way, but oftentimes our way in our heart, it's not the right way. Scripture says our heart is deceitful. But in our time, it's not the right time. God needs us to see something before we can move forward. He needs us to hold on just a moment longer to see something a little bit different in our life. You see, I went through a time in my life where I was just completely destroyed. Felt like I was alone, felt like giving up. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Every night when I prayed during that season of my life, I just wanted God to take me out. But you see, sometimes when we've got nothing else to hold on to, God just says, wait a little bit longer. And then a little bit longer goes by, and he might say it again, wait a little bit longer. Wait a little bit longer. And after a while, it may feel like it's getting monotonous, but at the end of that little bit longer, it's all going to make sense. It always does, and oftentimes we feel kind of foolish. God, why did I even think about walking away? God, why did I feel this way in that time of my life? Well, it's because everything in this life is a lesson from God. You just have to look for it. You see, sometimes we're in a season for a time longer than we would anticipate. Sometimes we feel like we're in a season for not enough time. God, I'm not ready to move, make that next step in my life. But God says, no, but this next step is going to prepare you for the next step. I don't know if that makes sense to everybody, but I hope it makes sense to some. You see, sometimes God's going to bring us to point A to prepare us for point B, and point B is going to prepare us for point C. And it might just feel like, well, I'm just preparing and preparing and preparing. But the scripture tells us to always reach to be Christ-like. And in order to do so, we have to continuously prepare ourselves over and over and over again and kill our flesh to be Christ-like. I have to prepare myself every day to go into the war field, to go into the battlefield of work, to go into the grocery store and be able to have a conversation with somebody about the gospel. We are always continuing to prepare ourselves for the work of the Lord. It says in Psalms 33:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. If you're struggling today, right now, and feel tired and can't go anymore, you just have to continue to hold on. Continue to fight the good fight, and faith will carry you through. You see, we have to wait patiently for God to move before we move. Imagine if Peter had stepped out of the boat before Jesus told him to. Instantly would have went down. But he waited for the Lord to call him out. Ultimately, we know that he wavered in his faith and he began to fall through the water. But it's the fact that he waited on the Lord. You see, eventually, the day of victory will come when we hold on for the Lord to move. You see, you might be tired and you might be exhausted, and the only thing holding you on is hope. But let me tell you, there have been times in every one of our lives, including myself, that hope was the only thing I had left. And a week or two will go by and I'm like, God, thank you for giving me hope. Thank you for giving me a glimmer of your glory and your grace and your mercy for me to get up the next day and just hold on for one more day. You see, I think people take for granted the ability that God gives us to just hold on. Now, holding on, the phrase just hold on can be a relevant term. I'm sure all the parents in the room can agree with me that when you're talking to somebody and your kid runs up, you say, just hold on. That can be a relevant term. Or if you give a direction to somebody and just say, do this, this, and this, and just hold on. You see, oftentimes God is like that with us. I need you to go here, here, and here, and then wait for me here, and I will be there. But you see, no matter what instance you use the phrase, just hold on, that's all you got to do is just keep holding on. Just hold on to the word, keep worshiping. Keep praying, continue down the path of righteousness. Doing all of those things is just holding on. You see, the three Hebrew boys had to wait and hold on to the Lord to protect them from the fire. The lady with the issue of blood had to do what? She had to hold on to faith that God would heal her. Eventually, the day that you're fighting for is going to come over the horizon and you're going to worship like nobody is watching. But all you got to do right now is to just hold on. If you're in a weak spot in your life, continue to hold on. If you're afraid and don't know where to go or what to do, continue to hold on. If you've got one person that you can lean on, hold on to their hand. If you've got one person that you can lean upon that person and hold on. But how do you hold on when you've got no reason to hold on? But let me tell you, you continue to pray when you don't feel like it. You continue to wake up every day and say, God, thank you for another day on this earth. My day could be a total mess and chaos, but God, thank you for another day. You see, every day you wake up, you might be tired and you might be exhausted, but we got to understand we have a duty to do, and that's to wake up and go to work and be an example for the Lord. And I understand you don't feel like it at times, but you got to hold on to the word. You just got to hold on to hope. Hold on to faith It doesn't matter how far or how hard it gets or how far you stray away from God. It feels like just continue to hold on. If you would all stand to your feet tonight, I'm going to come to a close. But the reason you're here today is not to give up. It's not to throw in the towel. It's not to quit. It's because you're still moving and you're still fighting. Amen. God's not done with you. He's not done with your family. But you got to continue to hold on. You got to continue to hold on to his promise that he gave you. Amen. If you would lift up your hands, I'd like to pray over each and every one of us. Pray that God puts it in our spirit to just hold on, Lord Jesus. God, we worship you tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for another day on this earth. God, I thank you for the opportunity to come into your house, Lord. God, and then just hold on to your word. God, hold on to your promise, Lord. God, I pray over every person that is in the room tonight. God, that they continue to hold on to the good word. God, that you are Lord. God, you continue to reign on high, Jesus. God, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, your word is still faithful. God, your word is still true amongst every lie, amongst all deception. Lord, God, I pray over every person in every marriage and family tonight. God, that no matter how far they stray from you, God, they are reminded that they can hold on to you, Jesus, in all of your glory and all of your wisdom, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I pray, God, that this service, Lord, inspires and somebody encourages them, Lord, to hold on to the word, hold on to the promise, and hold on to hope and faith, Lord. Whatever it is, Jesus, that's holding them together, God, continue to give it to them, Jesus. God, as you are worthy to be praised, hallelujah, Jesus. Why don't you give your a hand clap unto the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy, hallelujah. God, we worship you, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, Pastor Tyler is going to come and share with you. So as he comes up, why don't we give him an ear and why don't we give him a hand clap of love and appreciation? Amen.
Praise the Lord. Before we move any further, I would just, if we could go ahead and pray again. If we could just lift our hands towards heaven and just go before the Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for allowing each and every one of us to be in your house tonight, Lord. God, and I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you would be with us. Lord, I pray that my heart is right. God, I pray that you would give me the words to say, that you would lead me, Lord, that I submit myself to you. God, that the words that come out of my mouth are encouraging to edify the church, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for each and every one that's here tonight. God, open our hearts to your word. Lord, your presence is already so strong in this place. We glorify you, Lord. We love you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything, Lord, for everything that you've given us, for everything that you've blessed us with, Lord Jesus, for your protection over us, Lord. We lift your holy name up, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. First off, I just want to I want to give honor to Pastor and Sister Adairi for allowing me to come up and speak to you. And it is truly an honor. I don't feel worthy of it. But I'm going to do my best with the Lord's help. Pastor asked me to just speak what's on my heart, and I want to be encouraging to you today. I want to challenge you, and like I said, I want to, what comes out of my mouth, I want it to edify the church. I spoke to the leadership, I spoke at the leadership meeting. To rephrase that, Pastor asked me to speak from my heart. So I did. And I told them over, I don't know, probably like the last couple weeks, God has really just begun to stir my heart. Kind of like, you know, when... Kind of like he just, well, I don't think God's going to slap us in the face. But, You know, there's those times where God, it's like when you take your child and you're talking to your child, and I'll use Marshall as an example tonight. Marshall, you try to talk to him and his eyes, he's looking at the ceiling and he's looking left and right. And you got to grab his face and you got to go, Marshall, look at me. I'm speaking to you. He's like, I'm listening. Dad, I'm listening to you. Yeah, but you're looking over there. So I kind of feel like over the last few weeks, that's what God's done to me. He's grabbed me. And he's like, I'm speaking to you. He's looking at me. So really just stir my heart. And I think through, you know, Brother Harpole has been coming in and speaking to us. And Pastor's been speaking to us. And, you know, through all that, it's just been like really just in stirring my heart. And I'm going to do my best to stay on my notes here, but I may get sidetracked. If I sound good, it's God using me, okay? If I sound like a babbling idiot up here, that's me, okay? So this is not me. I'm not comfortable up here. Totally not comfortable. I'm comfortable playing my acoustic guitar and singing. But Pastor asked me to come up here and speak, and I want to obey. I want to obey Pastor, and I want to do what is best for the church. So really, as I speak tonight, I'm challenging myself. I'm looking to myself. Just looking at my notes here. As we move forward as a church, there's going to be a lot of change. And that change is going to be as we build the new buildings, we're going to have new buildings. There's going to be change in our leadership. I'm not saying pastor's leaving. I'm just saying as God works, people start to fill the positions. But there's going to be change. And for that growth to happen, change has to happen in us. This world is chaotic. There's so much darkness. There's so much evil everywhere. It's everywhere. Everywhere we go, it's in your face. It's everywhere you go. And we don't have time to play church. We don't have time to play church. I want to be a part of the growth. I want to be here side to side with each and every one of you as we take that next step. And I believe, I wouldn't have said this to you probably 2 weeks ago, but I believe with all my heart that we are going to expand. I do. We're going to build another building, and we're going to have a building that seats 500 people. And God's going to be in it. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. I believe it with all my heart. I stand behind our pastor. I stand behind the decisions that he makes. We don't have to always agree with what pastor asks of us or the decisions he makes, but there's honor and there's respect. He's the man of God. He's been placed in our heart. So we may not agree, and that's fine. We don't always have to agree, but we publicly don't have to make that disagreement known. So I believe with all my heart, I believe that Pastor is the man. He's the man that's going to be our pastor through this growth. And I want to be by his side and do everything that I can to encourage and to help that process go along. Amen. I believe this gospel that we preach, I believe the infilling of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Many of you may not know my background, so I'll give you a little bit of my background and why I believe this with all my heart. I grew up Baptist, and so that, you know, the Acts 2:38 message is, I never heard it, you know, never heard it preached. Hannah was Pentecostal apostolic, and so we started talking, and I'm like, man, I've never heard this before. So we started having Bible studies and all that, and then, you know, long story short, I got baptized in Jesus' name, and it was about a year before I got the Holy Ghost, but during that time and during the time that we were having Bible study and talking and my background and her background, you know, and I would talk to, at the time, my pastor and asked him about, you know, this gospel. And, you know, they said, well, that's not for us. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, you know. So that was a red flag to me, but still this message was new. But everybody always said that, well, it's just emotions. It's all about emotions. And so after I got baptized, and then, you know, I prayed for the Holy Ghost for about a year, and I prayed and I told God, I said, I don't want to receive the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues because it's out of emotion, something that I did. I prayed that. I said, God, if I speak in other tongues, I gotta know that it's you. It's not me. I gotta know it's you. I have to. And the reason, like I said, why I'm telling this story is because I believe this with all my heart. And so it was a Sunday morning. We were in Niles. We attended Pastor Lehman's church. And they shut the service down, and they did a prayer line. And what that is, you know, they're in the middle of worship, and then all of a sudden, pastor says, I'm going to shut the service down, and we're going to do a prayer line. I feel like people need to be prayed for. So right there, they just got rid of all the music, quiet, and it's just people praying. And I'm like, oh, this is new to me. And about halfway up, and I just started feeling something come over me. I'm just like, yeah, you know, this is new. I don't know what, I mean, I knew what I was praying for, and I've seen other people get the Holy Ghost. And, you know, by the time I got up to the front, Pastor Murphy, I don't even know if he even laid his hands on me. And I received the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. I prayed, I asked God for it, and he gave it to me. And he gave it to me in a way that I know that I received the Holy Ghost. And the way that, you know, that I have no doubt that this message is true. And I stand, and I said all this because I stand behind our pastor and what he preaches 100%. And I believe it. And I know all of you believe it as well. So, you know, as moving forward, I want to be the best that I can be. I want to challenge myself. I want to encourage each and every one of you as we, you know, take this next step as a church. I said this to the leadership on Friday. You know, like whenever I think of growth, the first thing that I think of is, oh, more work. We're going to be up here like every day doing work, you know? And then God spoke to me and he's like, no, that's not what it is. It's not going to be more work. If we trust God, God will provide. God will provide. We trust the Lord and God will provide. God will provide the laborers. Everything will fall into place. It really comes down to it. Just trust God. Trust him. There's that song that we sing. I think we sing it as little kids. You know, trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus, we must trust and obey. I think we sang that in Sunday school. I hope I'm not being too monotone for you. All right. So, I as my spirit was being stirred and God, you know, really began to reveal some things to me, and you know, you're fasting every once in a while. We're supposed to fast every Wednesday, and I'm not going to lie to you. I don't fast every Wednesday because I'm being honest with you, because my flesh tells me you can't do it. We can do it. Each and every one of us can fast. We have to decide and trust God that we can do it. We have to kill the flesh. You have to start somewhere. Start small. Instead of drinking 9 cups of coffee, drink 5. I mean, really, you start small. You start small, and then it's encouraging. Because you're like, wow, I usually drink 9, but now I only drink 5. I had to get on coffee because everybody always, you know, is preaching to the people about their energy drinks, you know. I'm like, well, there's a lot of people going around all buzzed on, you know, caffeine and coffee as well. But, you know, we have to take the next step. We have to challenge ourselves. We can do it. We only have a short time on this earth, and we need to use that time properly for the Lord. And we're all called. You don't have to be a leader. You don't have to be the leader in the church. Each and every one of you are important. Each and every one of you are important. You don't realize it. You may think to yourself, I just clean. That it is not I just clean. You clean, and that is important. And each and every one of us do a lot behind the scenes. We appreciate you. It is very important. So don't ever look at yourself as a minor piece to our body of, you know, our church body. But also part of, you know, God was challenging me. I talked about fasting, prayer, reading my Bible. I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard some days. You're busy. But if we're going to, I don't want to come to church Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and just keep doing the same thing. Because that's what I started thinking to myself. I'm like, all right, so what kind of progress am I making? In a year, am I going to look the same? Am I going to look different? Is there going to be growth? You know, I'm trying to be encouraging. So I'm not saying to just give up. That's not the answer. The answer is not to give up. It is to move forward. There's nothing else in this world that is more important than our relationship with God. Nothing else. So, as God began to continue to challenge me and speak to me, and then I started thinking about my kids. What kind of example am I setting for my kids? When they look at me, if they would talk to their friends, what kind of worshiper am I? What kind of man? What kind of words come out of my mouth? What kind of example am I being to my kids? They're the next generation. I want to be remembered as someone who gave everything that they were able to give for the Lord, for the church, to be there, to love, to care, to have respect for one another. Because I'm telling you, the schools are raising a lot of our kids, and we just sit off to the side and really don't get involved. Listen, I'm speaking to myself. So I'm speaking to myself. So if I say anything that is out of order, Pastor can come back and he can put me in order, okay? But what kind of example am I setting for my kids? And not just my kids. It's not just my kids that I care about. I care about all the other kids that are up here at the front. And we have a great church. We have a great church. You all, your worship, encouraging. I love to see everybody up here worshiping out there. It is so encouraging to us. So by no means am I putting our church down. But for us to go to the next level, we have to sacrifice some things. There's more to give. There's more to give. We never stop growing in the Lord. We never stop growing in the Lord. You know, I kind of already spoke about this a little bit, but I am a first generation apostolic. So I don't want that to end with me. You know, we have to prepare the next generation. We don't want all this to die when Pastor retires or when I retire and someone else comes up here and leads worship. We must prepare the next generation. I want my kids to learn honor. I want my kids to learn respect. I want them to encourage one another. I want them to be there for one another. The other thing that God spoke to me about was mainly the honor, you know, and respect. And I was, like I said, I came from a Baptist background, so that part of our, what we believe and having that covering, I was never taught that. You know, that's new to me to have that spiritual covering and that spiritual authority in your life. And so for me, that has definitely been a growing area in my life. And, you know, I told the leadership, I'm not going to lie. You know, Pastor asked me to do some things and I kind of cringe and my flesh wants to fight back. And you're going to have those times, but you can still honor. You can still honor. You can still respect. You know, I believe a lot of things in our lives that we face and we have the things that we may deal with that torment us every day. It could be that we don't have spiritual covering over us. I know I can tell you I don't regret it. I don't stand here and say, well, I wish I didn't have spiritual authority over me. Because since I've applied all of these principles of what Pastor has taught me, because like I said, you know, we went to the other church for a while, but then we started attending here. So most of what I've learned has come from Pastor. So, you know, since I've come here, I can say that as I've applied more and more of those principles to my life, my life hasn't gotten any worse. There's been growth. And that's why I say I'm bought into it. I'm bought into it 100%. I never thought God would have brought me where I am now. And by no means, I'm not perfect at all. And I keep wanting to say that I'm preaching to myself here. But mainly my message tonight, and I never really gave a title or anything because I didn't have a title. I do have one scripture here, though. And I'm going to read this. Sister Adair, do you mind coming up and playing? But I know when there's unity in the body, man, God can do some miraculous things. Miraculous things. And I want to see that. I want to see all of us have unity. I want to see lives being changed. I want to see the blind eye open. The blind eyes open. I want to see spiritual health. I want to see physical health. I want that. I want to create an atmosphere for God to work. And I know all of you do too. I know you do. You know, this goes back to being an example. I mean, we expect our kids to do things that we don't even do ourselves. I can't ask my child to, you know, just love everyone when I still have a beef with Brother Xavier. No, I don't. But that's my point. You know, we have to be willing as leaders and saints to lead, like I said, lead the next generation, be the example. They have to learn from us. Or this church and this teaching that we believe will fall to the wayside. Because the world is powerful. The darkness, everything that they teach, and I made a reference to the pastor, I said they just keep pushing. The world just keeps pushing and pushing and pushing. Because it's coming from everywhere. It's coming from every direction. But we see here in Acts, and I mean, you all know the scripture. It's Acts 2 and 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And it appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and begun to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that's just one example. I think there was 120 in the upper room. And I don't know, I can't remember exactly how many days. I know they were there for many days. It took them days upon days before they were all in unity to kill the flesh. I don't know about you. I loved when we had the all-night prayer. I don't remember exactly what we called it. You know, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, man, this is going to be a long time praying. Like, I don't know if I can pray that long. I mean, serious. That's how our flesh thinks. Like, I don't know if I can stay awake that long. You know, we'll be like the disciples, and we can't even stay awake for an hour. But it was like as the night went on, you could feel it at first, you know, like everybody's tired. As the night went on, you could feel just the spirit shifting. The atmosphere was shifting, the unity. And by time like midnight, I mean, it was just like the floodgates opened up. So I loved it. I hope we plan some more of those. But that's what it's going to take. It's going to take for us to move to that next step. So my challenge to you is, and to myself, really seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. What is the next step for you? What is the next step? What do we have to give? Do we need to fast more, pray more, read our Bible more? So if you could stand, and if you want to come up to the front, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song here. But really, don't let God work in your life. Really seek the Lord. Really seek the Lord. God, what do you want me to do? How am I a part of this growth? How can I be there to support my pastor? All I know is there's nothing else that matters. Nothing else matters. So if you could just close your eyes, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would, God, your spirit would just fill this place, Jesus. God, as we are all standing here in the front, Lord Jesus, I pray right now that, Lord, your spirit would just sweep through this place. God, that we would seek you, Lord. That we would seek, Lord, for what you would have us to do, Lord Jesus. What is the next step in my life? What is the next step? Am I being an example? Am I there for one another? Am I loving my pastor? Am I honoring my pastor? Am I honoring our pastor's wife? Are we honoring his family? Do we love one another? It starts with love. I really believe that you have to love someone for the honor to come, Lord. Lord, we just thank you. And God, I pray that you would be with us tonight. Lord, help us. We just give you glory. We give you honor, Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I sing praise to the King of Kings. King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy and holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss in prayer. You can pray as long as you like. And the outreach team, they're set up at the cafe out in the foyer if you'd like to grab something to eat on your way out. So if we could just together, let us just close out this service and go before the Lord. We just thank you. God, I ask that you would be with us as we leave this place. God, I pray that we would not leave here without thinking twice about this, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to trust you, Lord. We thank you. We give you all the glory, the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.